Hello everyone, my name is Tabita Rajab and I am part of the CDH marketing team. Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast, the Women's Month series. Today we speak to Algene Roos. Algene is a senior associate in the pro bono and human rights practice. Our practice offers a range of free legal services to individuals, non-profit organizations and other entities engaged in human rights or public interest work. Welcome, Algene. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's great. So can we start with you telling us what led to your career in law?
Okay. Funnily enough, I actually never wanted to go into law. And in high school, I thought that law was actually quite boring. My phenomenal dream was to be an accountant. However, there was an administrative error when I got to university, and instead of being placed in the BCom accounting program, I was placed in the BCom law program. And after much deliberation and thinking about whether I should stay in the BCom law program, I decided to stay and make the best out of the situation. And I must say it was the best mistake to ever happen, because the degree is crafted in such a way that you are exposed both to commerce and law. And it definitely aided me in making the decision in terms of which direction I would go into. I think the decision came in second year when I started the module constitutional law. I enjoyed it so much that I knew law was for me and I was going to leave my commerce background behind. I absolutely fell in love with law and what it could achieve, and I loved its complexity. And so I've honestly never looked back from second year university.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. So your mistake turned out to be exactly what you wanted to do.
Absolutely.
Okay, now you spent in your earlier years of your career, you were with Legal Resources Center, which I believe is the largest public interest law clinic. Tell us about that and your experiences at the center.
Yes, the LRC is the largest and I think one of the oldest legal NGOs in the country. And its history is absolutely remarkable. Its founder was Arthur Chaskalson, who was part of Nelson Mandela's defense team in the Rivonia trial. And he went on to be the first president of South Africa's new constitutional court in 1994. So the legacy of the LRC created absolute giants that contributed immensely to the human rights jurisprudence in South Africa. And for me personally, I think one of the first memories of the LRC was meeting George Bizos, who was also part of Nelson Mandela's defense team. He was working at the LRC's Johannesburg office. His stories were absolutely remarkable, and he would talk about what it meant to be a true human rights lawyer. I enjoyed it immensely. But I think more than that, it was at the LRC where my passion for public interest litigation grew. My experience at the LRC really shaped the type of attorney I am today. I was exposed to such vast areas of law at the center that I became to appreciate the role that public interest sector plays in holding government accountable, not only to people in our country, but also to ensure that they uphold the values and rights of the Constitution. So, as an attorney, I really grew up in the human rights space. I started my articles there and I remained as an attorney. And so my passion for it has grown and grown throughout my career. And this is also reflected in the types of cases that I took on. The areas of law that I specifically focus on at the moment is land rights, and this is specific to communal land rights and refugee rights.
What is the best advice you would give to someone who wishes to pursue a career in the pro bono and human rights specialization?
So the advice I would give would be tailored to what they actually want to do and achieve. To be in the space, it's very small and it's very competitive, but there are really different paths that one can follow. You don't necessarily have to follow the path that I took. But should you want to pursue this path, I think you should be really intentional about doing so, and you have to find the opportunity that best suits you. Some of my friends are in the public interest sector, but they don't litigate as I do. Some of them are in academia, in research positions within NGOs. Some are in NGOs that use advocacy as a tool to affect human rights. So there are a myriad of ways to get into human rights. You just need to find the opportunity and you need to run with it the best way you can. My advice in general is always use every opportunity as a lesson. So learn from everything and use the skill that you get out of those learnings to ensure that you follow the path that you actually want to be on.
What are you most proud of accomplishing in this area of law?
Okay. Over my career, there have been great milestones achieved. But one particular moment that always sticks out is a case that I did that related to citizenship for children born to foreign nationals in South Africa. The issue related to the interpretation of a specific provision in our Citizenship Act. And the Department of Home Affairs interpretation effectively left my clients and many more people in this situation stateless. This means that no country recognized them as a citizen. There is a huge misconception that if you are born in South Africa, you are automatically a citizen. This is wrong. And it's not how our law works. If you are born to foreign nationals, you assume the same nationality as your parents. The issue of statelessness then arises when the child turns 18, especially with refugees. Refugees are not allowed to return to their home country, and that includes not going to their country's embassy in South Africa. So the child's birth is effectively never registered in the parent's home country. So at 18, when the child can no longer be a dependent on the parents, the child is stateless because the parent's country says, you aren't a citizen here, and South Africa is saying, you aren't a citizen here either. So what we did in this situation is we challenged this interpretation, and despite winning in the High Court and the Supreme Court of Appeal, the Department of Home Affairs appealed the matter to the Constitutional Court. The Constitutional Court rightfully dismissed the matter without a hearing and determined that there was no prospects of success. So winning the case was great, but what that meant to my clients was even more significant because they now had a sense of belonging. They had a sense of identity, a place that they could finally call home. And as an attorney who fought alongside them all the way, this case is something that I was definitely proud of.
For the Pro Bono and Human Rights Practice Women's Month Initiative, CDHs will be participating in the Pro Bono Women's Month program to assist with packing care packages at the EPIC Foundation premises. Please tell us how the Pro Bono and Human Rights Practice identified that EPIC Foundation should be the beneficiary of this initiative.
Thank you for the question. So we wanted to find an organization that firstly that's woman-led, being it is Women's Month after all. And we wanted to find a foundation that is making a meaningful contribution on the ground in women's lives. I think we are all cognizant of what is happening in South Africa with women, the abuses that women are facing, the marginalization that women face on a day-to-day basis. And we thought about how CDH and its pro bono team could make a meaningful contribution. We came across EPIC Foundation through our relationship with other partners, and we liked their mission, we liked what they stand for, and we thought that we could definitely contribute from our CSR perspective and provide care packages to women who are victims of sexual assault and crimes, and make a small difference in their lives. I think from the CSR initiatives, we try and make an impactful contribution, but we do realize that sometimes we wonder whether it is actually materializing on the ground. And so I always say that every little bit helps. And so we are currently packaging 200 packages to be handed over to the EPIC Foundation. And we hope that this small package and what we can contribute to the initiative will make a difference in the lives of the women.
Thanks for joining us, Aljean, and we hope to hear more about initiatives that the pro bono and human rights practice will be involved in and any interesting cases that do come up for the practice. Thanks once again.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been great.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.